College basketball is in the final games of March Madness, but there's also madness off the court as the NCAA has been dealing with fraud and scandals that have made national headlines in the past year.
In January, the president of the NCAA announced the formation of a commission that promises to reform men's basketball by the start of next season. But college athletics is a $1 billion-a-year business, so critics are skeptical of anything actually changing.
Here to catch us up on the many issues the NCAA is facing is Jeremy Bauer-Wolf. He's the student of and athletics reporter at Inside Higher Ed. Jeremy, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So certainly there's a lot of excitement heading into what's arguably the NCAA's biggest weekend of the year, the Final Four, but it's been anything but smooth sailing this year for the NCAA and men's college basketball. Can you kind of catch us up on some of the issues and scandals that the organization has faced in the last year or so?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the NCAA is certainly not a popular organization right now. I think there have been several high-profile cases that we've seen where the public has disagreed with the NCAA decision. But I think the biggest black eye right now is the scandal surrounding men's college basketball, as you pointed out. So essentially what we have here is at least four high-profile programs that are connected to bribery and corruption. You have some assistant associate coaches steering recruits to certain institutions in exchange for cash payments. Obviously, this has been going on for a while now, and I think any NCAA insider would tell you that. But this is the first time we've really seen this exposed to the greater public, and this is the first time we've really seen the federal government and federal officials really step in on this and make this a priority.
Yeah, so college basketball, huge national pastime. Complaining about college basketball in the NCAA, also a huge national pastime. But as you kind of said, we're seeing some action, some push towards reform. And in January, the president of the NCAA announced the formation of this commission that is promising, in theory, to reform men's basketball by the start of next season. What do we know about this commission so far?
Not too much. Their work has sort of been in the shadows at the moment. We know that it's led by Condoleezza Rice, who is obviously a huge name, both in higher education just around the country. But we don't really know yet what they're going to be suggesting. You know, I think there was a recent interview with the president of the NCAA where he sort of kind of guessed maybe what might come down the line. But certainly some of the bigger reforms that people are asking for, you know, paying athletes or reforming the system to make it significantly more amateur. Right now, I think there's sort of a blurred line between the amateurism and the professional aspect of college sports. So, again, we don't really know a lot. We don't know what they've been doing. We're just sort of waiting to see what they suggest to the NCAA come April.
And the idea of reform, it's kind of a really broad topic, and that sort of brings you to one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you today. Your website, Inside Higher Ed, reached out to a range of college sports experts and people kind of affiliated with athletics to kind of get their take on how best to reform the NCAA. First off, can you give us a sense of who you reached out to for this?
Absolutely. So, like you said, across the board, we reached out to current NCAA membership, so we have quoted an athletics director and member of their Division I council that makes high-profile decisions for the Division I, obviously their biggest. We have some experts in public policy, experts in sports law. We have the former U.S. Ed Secretary, Arne Duncan, who obviously oversaw this and said he sort of knew that these issues existed. So quite a range of views.
And what were the questions that you were asking to all of these individuals?
Twofold. One was, what do you think the NCAA commission should accomplish? But ideally, what do you think they're going to suggest? Because obviously there's a dynamic here, right? We all would love certain ideals, but what do you think realistically the NCAA is actually going to accomplish here?
And it sounds like a lot of the people that you talked to didn't exactly hold back with their comments. Former U.S. Secretary of Education Arne Duncan, you mentioned, he actually said in the piece, quote, at a minimum, the NCAA seems wildly irrelevant to what's actually going on. What was behind those comments?
Well, I think Arne has sort of been in this for a while. He's also chairman of the Knight Commission on Athletics, which sort of is a watchdog group for promoting academics. So, again, he's been in the game for a while. He knows these issues. But I think a lot of people who have studied this for a while simply are just not optimistic. You know, we've seen shoe companies influence, Adidas influence Nike, big money in college sports for decades now. And there just hasn't been much movement on it. So when the NCAA comes out with this commission and promises reforms, people are going to be skeptical.
We are talking right now with Jeremy Bauer-Wolf, student affairs and athletics reporter at Inside Higher Ed, and we are looking at efforts to reform the NCAA. And Jeremy, you mentioned the money involved. We're hearing that 2017 was a record year for the NCAA. They're doing quite well, generating over $1 billion in total revenue. So for that organization, I mean, you've got sort of the PR issues on one hand, you've got the money on the other hand. Does the amount of money really outweigh, you know, the need to reform, I guess?
Well, I think a lot of people made this comment in our roundup that there's very little movement from the NCAA leadership to change this because it wouldn't necessarily benefit them. You know, the NCAA is composed of coaches, athletic directors, people with interest in maintaining the status quo. And the NCAA does rake in a lot of money. So there's not necessarily a benefit for these people to say, well, let's overhaul the system. That might not favor them in the future.
Is part of the issue that any change that you make to the NCAA that might be aimed at college basketball, that a change could have a sort of a trickle-down effect in that it could affect sports all across the spectrum?
Sure. I mean, I think you could argue that if there were major changes to college basketball, and I think a lot of people say that college basketball is the major offender for some of this corruption, I think it would shine a light on some of the NCAA's other practices. Again, I mentioned the UNC case where they ruled that there was no academic fraud involved. I think if there were reforms to college basketball, there would likely be a movement to say, well, can't the NCAA enforcement arm be a little bit more heavy and hard-hitting? So you sort of get the ball rolling with this, and it opens up a whole host of other issues.
You also heard from some experts who brought up this one-and-done phenomenon in men's basketball. Can you tell us more about what that is and how an NBA kind of plays a role in this as well?
Absolutely. I think the NBA actually is sort of the primary focus for the one-and-done. So one-and-done is basically, you know, you have a player, a very good player, come in and commit to a single season in a college and then go professional. And so there are a number of issues associated with this. You know, I think the NCAA and higher ed around the country would like to think that the primary goal of student athletes is not to be on a team, but to rather further their academic career. You know, we know that there's very few college athletes who actually make it professionally, so it behooves them to have a backup plan. My point being with all this is that the one-and-done rule has existed because the NBA made their rule saying, no, I'm sorry, you can't jump directly from high school to the professionals. They thought that was an issue there. So I think there is a push among the NCAA, and I think they're in talks with the NBA right now. People have previously reported to maybe reconsider this because this wasn't a longstanding rule. This is fairly new in the past two decades or so.
And I think when you have the exciting prospect in the NCAA playing basketball, you start to see sort of the agents swirling around, maybe starting to generate some interest. Does part of a reform package mean restricting what agents can and can't do with college recruits?
And yeah, that was a number of people suggested that. I think there is and that was pointed out, there is a huge swath of agents who are sort of operating underground, right? And this keeps the agents who are maybe above the board, they want to stay away because they sort of know how the system works right now. So it's a little bit difficult for the NCAA to have certain reach, but I think this is certainly an idea being discussed.
So the idea of paying players, it seems like that idea in and of itself might be off the table for right now. However, on the other hand, there seems to be some movement on this idea that maybe athletes could be allowed to profit off their images, their likenesses. This kind of stems back from the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit. He was the former UCLA basketball star who claimed that college athletes should be allowed to profit off their name and their likeness. Is this the area that you think, or that experts think as well, might be the area that we see the reform, that we see players potentially making some money off of what they're doing?
It is certainly a discussion point. I think it's a major frustration, too, for some college athletes. I wrote about a lawsuit very recently out of Central Florida where a football player had a very popular YouTube channel where he showcased his football skills. And he was actually kicked off the team because it was sort of an ultimatum. You know, we want you to give up this YouTube channel making money off of this in order to play football. And it was something he had started even before he had entered college. So I think it is a major frustration for a lot of people. But I think the counter argument there, too, is a lot of people say, well, this blurs the lines of amateurism and professionalism even more. You know, ideally, we would like to think that college athletics is amateur. It is not. It doesn't have all the rules. It doesn't have all the complications associated with this. So when you start introducing things like making money off your image, it does require a huge overhaul of the system and a lot of new considerations.
And briefly, as we wrap up, you had mentioned YouTube, and I hadn't really thought about this before, but is the NCAA always kind of running just a little bit behind where technology is and ways athletes are finding to get themselves out there?
I think there's certainly more opportunities for just young people in general to cultivate their image. You know, the case I referenced, there are a lot of high schoolers, early college students who are taking advantage of Instagram, YouTube, Snapchat to build their brands. And people want this. People seek this. This is sort of why college athletics and especially college basketball is so popular, because it's sort of an intimate tie to a lot of the players, a lot of the action. It's just discussed so much. So when you have these new platforms, it does sort of force the NCAA to reconsider. And when Mark Emmert, the president of the NCAA, was making his speech to the membership earlier this year, he referenced this, that a lot of the rules that they've had sort of have fallen behind. You know, they really need these reforms because there is just an entirely new environment.
Well, it sounds like a lot to keep track of, and we'll have to bring you back, Jeremy, and hear more in the future. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Jeremy Bauer-Wolf, student affairs and athletics reporter at Inside Higher Ed. We've been talking about the issues facing the NCAA and the formation of a commission to address them.